If you like to follow along, if you want to, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading the first four verses. Romans 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, I'm going to continue. Last week, I spoke on the Lord our righteousness. And that's what I'm going to continue on with from this passage of Scripture, if I can. Before I get too carried away, I do want to say this. Please understand. Please understand. There is no, absolutely no salvation without the Lord our righteousness. Absolutely none. The Lord, our righteousness, as I said last week, is the righteous branch that was raised up unto David. You understand? The righteous branch didn't come out of David. He was raised unto David. Now, he was in the lineage of David, but he didn't come out of David. He came from heaven. The righteous branch and the Lord, our righteousness, are the same person, Jesus Christ. And he is the one with whom we have to do. Because the Father has put everything, and I mean everything, in his hands. Everything. And here, what I want to look at, Paul tells us what we must do with the Lord, our righteousness. And it's that hated word. Submit. That's what it is. That's where we're headed. But he starts in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, Paul's not saying they're dumb. He's not saying they don't know things. He's saying they don't know the right thing. Actually, they don't know the right one. That's their problem. Look at this. In just right before this in chapter 9 and verse 3. Well, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know, I wish I could say that and mean it. I can't. I'll admit it, folks. I'm too selfish. I could wish that I could wish that I was a curse. But I don't know that I can. And, I mean, I do have a heart's desire and pray to God for my brothers and sisters, my friends, some companions, after the flesh, as Paul said, that they might be saved. But I don't know that I could wish myself accursed. But then when he goes on, Paul writing, who are Israelites, telling who these people are, my brethren according to the flesh, my kinsmen, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. whose are the fathers, and as whom, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. You understand, they had all these things. They were given, in a physical sense, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. And they weren't saved. They weren't saved. How can this be? They were given all these things physically. And they had the temple in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the wilderness, and Solomon's temple. And then the temple that was rebuilt after the captivity. They had all of this, and yet they weren't saved. Paul had continual heaviness of heart because of these people. Because here's the thing, and this is the thing most people don't quite get. One of them, the physical is never enough. The physical is never enough. You understand, Paul was talking about that woman with the issue of blood. And she touched him and healed. The physical thing wasn't the problem. It was a problem for her, yes. And for us, it's an illustration of what, for 12 years, this woman was what? Continually unclean. That's our problem. That's these Jews' problem, even though they had all these other things. The physical is never enough. What's he go on to say? That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise, are counted for the seed. The children of the promise are counted for the seed, and the seed is Christ Jesus. But these religious, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Paul says it here, and it's no different in our day. They have a zeal of God. And they're not saved. That's what Paul was talking about here. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The children of the flesh, of the physical, don't necessarily profit, because they may have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Because here it is, their zeal of God is different for different people. Understand? You can have a zeal of God in doctrine and want to be so precise and so dot every I and cross every T and put every period and semicolon where they're supposed to be. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if your focus is not on the Christ of the doctrine can damn you. You can get so fascinated by the logic and the beauty. And I'm serious, it is a glorious thing to see this book put together point by point by point and building through the Old Testament to the revelation of Christ in the New. And it can absorb some people to where that becomes their life's work and Christ is not their life's work. Amen. They can have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and may know far more than I will ever know about this book. A zeal of God can be because, now, stop me if you've heard this before, self-righteousness. You understand, there are a lot of people out there who think they're better than a lot of other people. And this is the whole thing. What they don't realize, that's just one maggot bragging on another maggot. Or bragging over another maggot. One worm bragging upon itself over other worms. And I'm telling you, they have a zeal. You understand? They're going to church every Sunday, rain, shine, snow, sleet, hail, whatever. No, what it's like the mailman. Nothing's going to make them stop. But you understand, the physical is never enough. And it can be emotion. They may get real happy when they go to church. Matter of fact, that's why they go to that church, is because they feel real happy there. Got nothing to do with how Christ is preached or if Christ is preached. You know? Some people are, they go for entertainment. They have a zeal of God for entertainment. Because here, I can be entertained and still be holy. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've heard Jim McClarity talk about them churches in Nashville. They have stage shows in church. And you know what they don't have? The gospel. Why? Because it's not according to knowledge. It's a great zeal. They put a lot of effort into it. But one thing they don't put into it is the knowledge of God. It's what Paul's talking about here. Because here he says it. For. Here's what I'm talking about. For. They being ignorant. But not just ignorant in general. Ignorant in something specific. You understand? He's not saying these people are stupid. He's not saying they're not smart. He's not saying they're not clever. He's not saying they're not charming. No, they're ignorant. Just one little thing. One to them, one insignificant little thing. But for us, this is the whole ball of wax right here. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. You understand? And I said it last week, and this is where I'm going with this, why I'm continuing on from last week. You being ignorant of God's righteousness is being ignorant of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Because He is God's righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And see, this is what Paul's talking about. You can have all the zeal you want, and you can have more than I can stomach, more than I can take. Oh, because I'm going to tell you something, zealous people get on my nerves after a while. But I'm going to tell you something, zealousness is not going to be any good at all. Zealousness, dedication is not enough. You need the Lord our righteousness. And that's who they were ignorant of. That's who they were. They don't understand God. That's what Paul's saying about these Jews to whom had all the advantages, had the writings of the prophets, had the books of Moses, the major prophets and the minor prophets. That's the way some people think of them. No, they're the prophets of God. They're the prophets of Christ. They prophesied His coming the whole way through. They had all that. By the time Paul's writing this, Christ has already come. Lived, died, was resurrected, and ascended. They had that too. They had the word of the Apostle Paul and Peter and Stephen before he was stoned. But I'm going to tell you something. I can preach as much as I ever could. I mean, I could preach every day. I could proclaim with the tongues of men and angels, Paul said. But listen here. If you're ignorant of God's righteousness, you're not going to hear.
Amen.
I can't make people hear and understand the Lord our righteousness. They don't understand God. They don't know the righteous God. The holy God, the one who will not accept any imperfection in any one. God, the holy, righteous, heavenly Lord of glory, demands perfection. He demands perfection in holiness. He demands perfection in righteousness. He demands perfect obedience. What's that mean? These ones who are zealous for God without any knowledge, they don't understand a just God. And you know how I can tell they don't understand a just God? Being ignorant? They're trying to help that just God be a Savior. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to help God be a Savior. How? By going about. And I remember the first time I heard this preach, Walter, years ago on a tape from Henry Mahan, back in the 80s. And he said, they're going about, going about, going about. And he said it three times. I remember that. And I always thought, I'm going to say that one day. That's right. They're going about, going about, going about. What's it mean? They're going about everything. Except the Lord our righteousness. They're going about all kinds of things. They're not going to Him. Because I wonder, just think about it someday. I wonder how many people actually think they keep the Ten Commandments. You know? I wonder how many people think that doing the best they can with what they have is good enough for God. Way too many, as I figure the answer. I wonder how many think speaking in tongues satisfies a holy God. I wonder how many people think going to church and not drinking and not stealing and not committing adultery and not cussing too much can be your own righteousness. Because here it is. If you are going about to establish your own righteousness, I'm sorry, that's the definition of being ignorant of the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That's what it is. Period. Because if you're going about to establish your own righteousness, you are ignorant of the righteousness of God. Oh my. Because I wonder how many think they can establish their own righteousness. Way too many. Way too many. Here's the other thing. I said the physical's not enough. I said zeal's not enough. Guess what else ain't enough? Religion is never enough. Religion is not enough. The righteousness of religion is not enough. Not even in the Old Testament, Walter. Not even in the Old Testament. The sacrifices and offering in the Old Testament, as glorious and beautiful pictures of Christ that they are, never took away one sin. It's in the Old Testament. Jeremiah wrote, He's the Lord our righteousness. That's who you have to know. That is always who you have to know. It always has been. I was listening to those tapes, Earl, on the burnt offering. And he said something, and I haven't had a chance to check it, but I kind of still trust him. He was talking about the burnt offering and the sin offering. He says, you know, and I didn't check this. I will, but I haven't checked it yet. The word burnt offering, the word burnt, is different when it says you burn up the sin offering too. But that word burnt in the description of the sin offering is a totally different word than the word burnt in burnt offering. Because a burnt offering, it actually, when it talks about burning, but it's a reference to incense. What does it say about the burnt offering? It's an offering holy to God, everything, and it's a sweet savor under His nostrils. You understand? That burnt, and they did it twice a day. Once in the morning, once in the evening. Now, it doesn't particularly say this, but I have this in my head, and I'll give it my opinion. It was the first sacrifice in the morning, and it was the last sacrifice of the evening. You know why? Because all the other sacrifices were in His life. In Christ. Anyhow. But even the great, wondrous thing that they were, when you knew they were pointing to the Messiah who would come, those sacrifices never took away one sin. Religion is not enough. And here's the thing. Those Old Testament sacrifices never gave the righteousness of God. You understand? It never was. It never was. The sacrifices and burnt offerings or our righteousness. It's not. And there's no modern religious ceremony, sacrament, ordinance, whatever, no religious thing that will give you the righteousness of God. No way. But what's it mean here? When he says, they being ignorant of righteousness, God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, I have problems saying that. Here it is. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Amen. That's right.
Now, who is? I'm gonna spoil it right now. Who is the righteousness of God? And who have these people not submitted themselves to? That's the answer right there. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Understand? He is the Lord our righteousness. And the Lord our righteousness is the one whom they have not submitted themselves. Excuse me. You know, understand, Paul didn't say this like it was a bad thing. He said it's like it's a condemnation. But that's because it is. If you have not submitted yourself unto the Lord our righteousness, if you have not submitted yourselves unto the righteousness of God, you don't know God. That woman with the issue of blood, what did she do? She touched the hem of his garment. She was healed. Guess what? She was no longer unclean. But he turned around and spoke to her, like he said, Paul. And guess what? She fell on her knees before him. She submitted herself to the righteousness of God. And he said, thy faith has saved thee. Go. It's healed thee. You're healed. What? You are no longer unclean. You've got my righteousness. There is no salvation without submission to the righteousness of God, who is Jesus Christ. Absolutely none. Because there's no salvation without a knowing and an acknowledging of the absolute superiority of Jesus Christ. And I said it that way to be personally offensive to some people. You understand? I could say, you have to know him as Lord. No, know him as Lord, yes. But that is absolutely acknowledging his superiority over you. Over me. You understand? Submitting to him means that he's better than you. And he is. This is the part that we hate. This is the part that'll get people's back up. I bow to no man. Well, I'm not asking you to bow to a man. I'm telling you to bow to God. I'm telling you to bow to Jesus Christ. Now, he's in the form of a man, but he's God. And not only God, he is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And you understand, to submit to him means to admit that he's better than you. Matter of fact, he's better than all of us put together. And to submit to him means that I will believe what he says. I will believe what he has said. I may not be able to do it, but I still believe it. And oh, thank God for those times when he works in me both to will and, this is the beauty, to will and to do of his good pleasure. You understand? That's the only time I can know of, but I don't know when it is half the time. That's the only time that I could know of that I do something good, period.
Right.
It's not of me.
Right.
Because I know, oh, there's a new man, yes, but I know in my flesh still dwells no good thing.
That's right.
And I got this battle in between me, you know. And it's not like a little devil on one shoulder and a little angel on the other. No, it's not like that at all. It's me all the way through.
Yeah.
It's me. Help thou mine unbelief. Because I still got unbelief. Even though he's given me faith and I believe him. And he is the Lord, my righteousness. Submit to the righteousness of God is to admit that I have no righteousness of my own. And I'm not going about trying to establish it. Thank God. I was before, even though I didn't know it. You know, I thought I was a pretty good fella. And I thought pretty good fellas got to go to heaven. That's about how much theology I knew at that time. We've reached the depths of my knowledge. Seriously. I was outside of religion. And somehow, right here, I ended up in front of a church. You know that God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform? You know? I don't know how I ended up here. I just know that I am.
Yeah.
Well, I do know how. He did it. And I keep telling myself, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. I have no righteousness of my own. And I'm going to tell you, you have no righteousness of your own.
Right.
None of us do. None of us do. Because in myself, of myself, I am not right. Remember what Paul said just a while back here in Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written. There's none, what's that word? Righteous. No, not one. Ooh. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Not only that. See, it's not only that we don't understand. Look at this. They're all gone out of the way. That's us. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their throat is an open grave full of rotting death and bitterness. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I'm going to tell you something. I've been in churches where their greetings to you sometimes feel more like cursing and bitterness than it does to be a greeting. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And here's the root of the problem, Paul says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And you want to know why? Because they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of the righteousness of God. They're ignorant of Jesus Christ. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness. And they have not submitted themselves. Understand, Christ said, take my yoke upon you. Understand, a yoked oxen is the illustration. That's about as submissive as you can get. Because you understand, that yoke is not like, you know, it's not like stagecoach horses where they have reins on their, you know, cheek. That's a block of wood over the neck of the ox. And that ox can't turn left or right unless he turns that block of wood or the other ox helps him, because there's usually two. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But you are going to submit. You're going to submit. To who? To the Lord our righteousness. You're going to submit. And like the man said, it's either here or hereafter. Because every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess. And that's Jew, Gentile, bond free, lost or saved. Elect or reprobate. Every knee's going to bow at what? The name of the Lord our righteousness.
Yeah.
You know his name? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. The righteousness of God. The righteousness. Our righteousness is a man.
Yeah.
A person. The Lord of glory. I like that. I do. Now, then I'm just going to throw this in. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness.
Yeah.
You understand? That makes a little more sense now to me. I don't know if it helped you or not, but it's helped me. Because he's not the end of the law. I know a lot of people want him to be. The law hadn't gone anywhere. You understand? Christ fulfilled the law. Perfectly, completely. There's no way that God's going to do away with one of his son's accomplishments. And the law reveals our guilt.
Amen.
And our, what? Lack of righteousness.
Exactly.
So, here it is. Christ, Jesus, is the Lord our righteousness. And the Lord our righteousness is the end of the law for righteousness.
Yeah.
Now, ain't that glorious? Is that grace or what? Ah, we're not under the law, we're under grace. We're not under sin, we're under grace. Because a gracious God has made Jesus Christ to be the Lord our righteousness. And he is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the only way you can say you got a part in this, is if you believe it. Because you understand, if you've submitted to the Lord our righteousness, if you've submitted to the righteousness of God, you're going to trust him. You're going to believe him. You're going to want to hear from him. You're going to want to hear his word. You're going to want to read. You're going to want to assemble together.
Yeah.
Because faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
Because he is going to work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's his good pleasure that we assemble together. Now, it's for our good. God doesn't need our help.
No.
It's for our good to support each other. Now put this together with this. Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness, came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You understand? The Lord our righteousness did not come to call the humanly righteous, but sinners to repentance. To repentance. Because there is a human righteousness. You understand? These guys, you know, there's a human righteousness. Yes, it's filthy rags. It's all filthy rags. But there's a human righteousness. But it's of no value to God. Because we need him who is our righteousness. Walter and I were talking about this a little bit on the front porch at his house at the lunch we had. What is it that the good shepherd said? You understand? The good shepherd is the Lord our righteousness. The good shepherd is Jesus. He said it. I am the good shepherd. What did he say? Other sheep I have. And then he says these glorious words. Them I must bring. Them I must bring. And there's going to be one fold and one shepherd.
Yeah.
And that's all there ever has been.
Amen.
That's all there ever will be.
Yeah.
Is one fold and one shepherd. And guess who that shepherd is? He is the Lord our righteousness. Submit to him. That's all we got to say. Believe him. Trust him. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done. I ask that you would bless Walter as he come to preach Christ to us this morning. And I ask that I be able to hear and others be able to hear your word preached. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again and we are waiting. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.